You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Pacers. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, here to bring you the latest news and notes about the Indiana Pacers. In today's episode, presented by SeatGeek and the wonderful SeatGeek app, which you can use with promo code LOPACERS to earn $20 back on your first ticket purchase. With the Pacers coming down the stretch run of the regular season and every game being important in their playoff positioning, it's a great time to get out to the field house. So pull up that SeatGeek app and get some great seats to the field house to get crazy for the Pacers. Now, in today's episode, we will look back at the Pacers' win over the Miami Heat, 102-98 on Sunday evening, as they celebrated the decade of the 2000s, which had some interesting aspects to it, to say the least. A lot of success, a lot of craziness, and there were a few players on hand. Saw some interesting folks down there, heard some things that were interesting, and we'll relay that to you later in the show. But before we dive in, reminder to hit me up with any comments or questions via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. Okay, so the Pacers took care of business. After struggling to put away the Miami Heat in the second half, they eventually did so down the stretch with a 7-0 run after the Miami Heat had assumed the lead on a flurry of three-pointers in the fourth quarter. The Pacers were then able to get some stops and then some buckets and repeat that process a few times over and get control back and put the game away. A big win for the Pacers just because the playoff race is so tight. As we've talked about in the past, there are really about seven teams battling for the final four playoff spots. You could say really six teams are really tight, bunched up for the final three spots. And the Pacers hold that sixth spot. But if they had lost this game, they were on the precipice of dropping out of playoff position. And it would have been put out of their hands had Detroit kept winning, had Milwaukee kept winning. Of course, the Heat would have won as it is right now. They're able to put a little stiff arm out on the competition and get at least a game lead on Detroit in seventh place. So they survive another night and move on. So it wasn't easy, of course, but the Pacers did catch the Heat at a good time. They're playing on a back-to-back combined with daylight savings time. That had the Heat arriving in Indy at 4:20 in the morning. So Miami had put together a pretty impressive win over Toronto on Saturday night, but they did lose Goran Dragic in the process. He got popped in the eye, and that thing swelled up, and he was not able to go against the Pacers. And so nobody missed watching Dragic break the Pacers down on the dribble, get in the lane, and create all night. He's been a nightmare matchup combined with Hassan Whiteside. So the Pacers caught a break there as well. And they took advantage. They really led throughout the game again, much like in Milwaukee. Got off to a great start in the first quarter. Good defense, good offense, and outscored the Heat 32-22. And then from there, you know, the offense struggled to keep that efficiency and pace up and eventually had to rely on their defense. And a poor three-point shooting night from Miami, who has been winning a lot of games of late and doing a lot of damage from behind the arc. But really, the second half was kind of a frustrating run for the Pacers. It seemed like they were up 8 points almost the whole time. Actually, they were up 11 late in the third quarter, about 2 minutes left. And it appeared like they were on the cusp of knocking the Heat out, as I said, on this back-to-back. With the rough travel schedule and Dragic out and all those things going against them, it appeared that the Heat were ripe to just roll over towards the end of the third quarter if the Pacers were able to put one more surge on them after taking that 11-point lead. But as it turned out, they were unable to do that. Heat got the lead down to 8, and then there was a little two-possession play where Fab Young got loose in the lane with a little runner at the rim that he missed, and then the Heat were able to get the rebound, take it the other way, and Deion Waiters hit a three-pointer. So that little five-point swing all of a sudden turned the game into a five-point game and kept the Heat right in it. And then the Pacers were able to get back to eight at the start of the fourth quarter for about the first 4 minutes. They were getting plenty of stops, unable to cash them in at the other end. Seemed like they were allergic to that double-digit lead there for a while. And the Heat just kept hanging around, hanging around. I had Conrad running in my ear from 1070 The Fan just saying, Pacers are going to just let them hang around, and then they're going to blow it at the end. And really, that is about what happened. And they did blow the lead for sure, as the Heat fired in three-pointers in three consecutive possessions at one point, and were finally able to swipe the lead with 4 minutes left to go. That called for a timeout by Nate McMillan, but they came out off that timeout, got a bucket, Heat countered, but then from there on, with about 3 minutes left, Pacers put that deciding 7-point run on the Heat and put away the W. So they were able to get a stop. Jeff Teague took it into the lane, got a little floater to go over Hassan Whiteside. And then on the other end, the Heat missed a shot, and Whiteside had essentially was denied an offensive rebound, though I guess he had it in his hands. He was amazing with 21 rebounds in this game, and 10 of those on the offensive end. The guy is just so long, and when the defense is drawn to someone putting up a shot around the rim, Whiteside is there to clean it up. And he did that all night, driving the Pacers nuts. But this time, he was a little off balance when he got the offensive rebound and had the ball behind his head. Jeff Teague jumped up and swatted it out of his hands, and Paul George was able to grab it. So the Pacers got the stop there and then took it down and were able to cash it in as Miles Turner drew a foul and made both free throws, clutch free throws down the stretch for the young fella. That put the Pacers up three, so they had the cushion of a full possession. And then the three-point well went dry when Ellington bounced one. Paul George grabbed the rebound. Pacers took it down to try and close things out. And again, on the offensive end, Pacers are getting no benefit of any calls. And missed shot, Miles Turner seemed to endure plenty of contact, both on a shot, on a rebound, and then on a putback. But he was able to get his way through and dunk home the offensive rebound and put the Pacers up by five. And then another three-point miss, this time by James Johnson of the Heat, and C.J. Miles rebounds, and the Pacers take it down and eventually get Thad Young fouled, which is smart foul by the Heat because he's unable to shoot, really, but he was able to coax one of them in, and the Pacers were up for good at that point with 7 seconds left, able to get Whiteside, got a little bucket right at the end, for good measure, another putback for Whiteside, who was really a beast with 26 points and 21 rebounds, really made Miles Turner work. But it was good to see Turner back with double-digit scoring after not scoring it in double digits for the last three games, had 15 and 8, although he was really good early and really good late. Turner, in 9 minutes in the first quarter, he scored 9 points and five rebounds, and that, again, was one of the reasons the Pacers got off to such a great start. But after that, he only had 2 points and one rebound through the second and third quarter, and then was able to come up big late in the game, making the free throws, getting the putback, big bucket, and bigger offensive rebound, and then a big dunk to put it away. So getting that impact from the young fella is huge. And, he was also battling Whiteside, who had that length advantage on him all night. A lot of times Whiteside literally was just going over the top of him. But he remained focused, as frustrated as he was. Didn't let any of the non-calls or frustration that Whiteside had getting loose on the glass get him down, kept battling, and was there to make plays down the stretch when it was really needed. Same goes for Paul George. PG had another big night, finished with 28 points, 10 rebounds. And again, I'm telling you, he absorbed a lot of contact in a lot of plays, but didn't react very often, you know, definitely after the whistle, if at all. And down the stretch, when it was critical, when things were going bad, the Pacers were not getting calls, not getting buckets, and the Heat all of a sudden took the lead. It would have been a good time for the team to kind of implode on themselves, but they didn't. They got strong, got those stops, got the buckets back. Nate McMillan said that that was one of the, or that was the number one point on the board before the game, not letting officials decide the game or get into their heads or be an impact. That, you know, this is pretty much playoff basketball now from here on out, and you can't let the officials decide the game or take you out of your game. You got to play through it. That's what the Pacers did. They got the W. Good to see. Now they go on to New York. Hopefully they'll get out of town before any snow hits and won't have any trouble traveling. And they take on the Knicks on Tuesday and then return home to play the Charlotte Hornets on Wednesday. The Hornets' playoff hopes are hanging on by a thread. But, you know, their prior success against the Pacers should make this a good matchup. So, you know, make sure you hit up SeatGeek to get into the Fieldhouse, because buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. Now, for the Pacers game on Wednesday, I'm going to pop open the app and click in Charlotte Hornets at Indiana Pacers. And still plenty of good seats available at a good price. You can get in for pretty good seats on the upper deck. $7, come on. And down low, a lot of seats under $50. And behind the hoop, there's a few under $30 behind the hoop on the north side. So plenty of good seats, and a good crowd would really help add to the playoff atmosphere for the game. You know, a great showing on Sunday night against the Heat. So get on the app and get some tickets, because everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work, and you save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. And that's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. And best of all for my listeners, get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. To get $20 rebate, download a SeatGeek app, and then go to the Settings tab and click Add a Promo Code. And then enter promo code LOPACERS. That's all one word, all caps, LOPACERS. And then SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOPACERS today. Okay, so also at the Fieldhouse, to go along with the win over Miami, Pacers celebrated the decade of the 2000s. As they celebrate their 50th year and marking time and celebrating players from each of the decades, this was the oddest of the celebrations, just because there was a lot of positive things that happened in the 2000s and a lot of negative things and a lot of odd characters involved. And some of the best players didn't always leave on the best terms with the way things rolled out in the 2000s. But, you know, no doubt the best player of the decade was Jermaine O'Neal, and he was in the house and met with the team and met with the media before the game. I'm going to really hit on that a little bit more because it was interesting on the show on Off Day tomorrow, because he really hit on a few different topics about his tenure and thought it was interesting. I'd like to get anybody's thoughts on that. But as for others celebrated, Jeff Foss was there, Al Harrington, Austin Crozier, of course, Eddie Gill, who is doing some broadcasting for Pacers TV, and of course, Derek McKee, who's always sitting on the floor for games. So those players were all brought out at halftime for the crowd to recognize. And one thing about Jermaine O'Neal, you know, there's a lot of vitriol about him sometimes. Again, you know, obviously he was the best player all the All-Star games, finished third in MVP voting, but also towards the end of his career with the Pacers, had injury issues, can't forget the brawl. All those things add up, and a lot of people were frustrated with the way his career ended here, but you would not know that by the reception he received at the Fieldhouse. And I think that it's kind of true with people who are really solid Pacers fans. They understand that J.O. was a great player for the team, and he definitely heard the loudest roar of applause. And I think, you know, he's done a pretty good job of talking about the Pacers and the organization being his home team, the team he considers his team when he looks back at his career. So, again, we'll talk more about what Jermaine had to say tomorrow, but I thought it was nice to see that the fans recognize him so well at halftime. Also, Danny Granger was not at the game because he is doing some college basketball broadcasting for CBS. So he had those duties with the NCAA tournament field being revealed. So he was not there. It was Danny Granger bobblehead night. Now, I know there's a little bit of talk about, you know, why the Pacers did a bobblehead for Granger and not J.O. Story I heard at the Fieldhouse was that they did intend to do one for J.O., but after several attempts to try and get his approval, which they would need, they hadn't heard anything back from him. So they were running out of time and asked Danny Granger, and he quickly said, sure, I'll do it. So he gave me the approval. So it wasn't anything more sinister than returning a phone call. It wasn't like the organization was trying to ice out J.O. and not recognize him. And that is obvious, by the way. He was treated at the game tonight and brought in to meet with the team and be celebrated along with Jeff Foster and Al Harrington, a couple other players that he had a lot of success with the Pacers during the decade of the 2000s. So back to the current Pacers and where they're sitting in the standings officially now, as they enjoy a day off to travel to New York. Pacers remain in sixth place with 16 games remaining in the season. They are 3 games behind the Atlanta Hawks. Can't rule that out. They're 1 game ahead of the Detroit Pistons and 1.5 games ahead of Milwaukee. And more importantly now, 2.5 games ahead of the Miami Heat. 3 full games ahead of the Chicago Bulls. Both those teams currently at 9th and 10th are outside the postseason. The Bulls seem to be just fading fast, as I think somebody's going to drive Dwayne Wade nuts as he tries to explain what's going on with that team. All I'm seeing on Twitter, it seems like, are quotes from Dwayne Wade about the apparent dysfunction going on in Chicago right now. But this thing is a long way from over. Obviously, Milwaukee is still rolling, having won 6 in a row. But slowing down the Heat tonight was big for the Pacers, so they can maintain that spot, at least to remain in the playoff picture. I know after the game, Paul George was asked about if it's kind of frustrating that with the high hopes of the season that they're in this battle for a playoff spot. And he kind of phrased it like, well, we have a playoff spot, and, you know, we're not in the battle to get one. We have one right now. We just got to hang on to it. So I thought that was an interesting perspective, way to look at it, and it is all true. All they had to do is take care of business and try and play over 500 ball. They've been winning and losing and winning and losing here for a while. And if they can string together a win, get one in New York, then they're going to have a tough back-to-back against Charlotte. But, you know, the schedule sets up where they can, you know, try and win, you know, 2 out of 3 here instead of just going back and forth with the 500 record. And that should keep them in the playoff hunt and get them in position to play in the postseason. And that's the plan. And then once they get in the postseason, anything can happen. Good veteran group. Paul George expressed a confidence that they were going to be more dangerous in the postseason just because of all the guys they have to lean on who have been in a lot of battles over the years. So let's hope that that is the case. So thanks for listening. Again, thanks to SeatGeek for presenting this episode. And please share your thoughts on the game or save the team playoff race at IndyCornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at IndyCornrows. And you can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where all prior episodes are available. And that's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You got it.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.